Two old guys, like myself, sitting on the front porch, talking. One guy says, "I can't remember anything anymore." The other guy said, "I used to have the same problem, but I went to this class, and it was a memory class, and they taught us to associate something that we know really well with what it is we're trying to remember." And he said, "Man, it's worked great." And the guy said, "Man, that sounds good. That sounds like what I need." He said, "What's the name of that class?" He said, "What's the name of that flower that's red? Sometimes there's a yellow one, got thorns on the stem." He said, "You mean a rose?" "Yeah. Rose, what's the name of that place that I went to that class?" Now, I said that because at the beginning, you know, I said two old guys kind of like myself. So I put myself in that same boat. So tonight, as I read God's word, you guys follow along with me, so when I get lost, you can remind me what verse I'm on. Good deal. Scott, I got to admit, when you were singing that song, "Not Today," Debbie and I were watching Funniest Home Videos one day, and there's this little kid. He's sitting in a high chair. He must be about two. He's sitting in a high chair, like most of them. They got food everywhere but in their mouth. And his mom's telling him, "You got to eat your food, you got to eat your food." And he looks at her dead in the eye and he says, "Not today." And it just cracks me up every time I hear that. I don't know why, I just see that little kid. That's enough of that. Romans chapter 6, where we're going to be tonight. My goal is to go through that whole chapter. There's only 23 verses. I have got it under 3 hours. I promise you, under 3 hours. But when Kevin asked me to fill in for him, I got to thinking that here we are only 9 or 10 days into the year 2022. Brand spanking new year. Lots and lots of people have made New Year's resolutions, millions across this country, millions of resolutions being made. The surveys will say that almost 50% of adults make New Year's resolutions. You guys want to guess at the top two? Lose weight. I guess that's why about 60% of us Americans are overweight. So that's probably not working too well. The second one is do better with my finances, get out of debt. Well, since most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, I guess that's probably not working out too well either. So, I mean, the surveys themselves even say that only 8% of people that make resolutions keep them. Surveys even go farther to say that most resolutions that are made are gone within 90 days. We've forgotten all about them. So it's pretty obvious that us human beings are not very good at doing change on our own. As a matter of fact, lots of Christians, They have this philosophy, "Well, God made me this way, and I just can't change." Well, you're exactly right. You probably can't change. But God can change you. God can change us if we will allow Him to do that. Because there's nothing farther from the truth. God would never ask us to do anything that He wouldn't give us the ability to do it. And that's, as we read this chapter 6 tonight, we're going to be reading about sin, because I think I'm safe to say, I haven't had surveys or haven't seen the studies, but I think it's safe to say that the average Christian across this nation struggles with sin on a daily basis. I think the average Christian is way farther away from God than where we really need to be. But when it comes to sin, God plainly tells us, and we're going to get into that just a little bit more here in just a minute, but when it comes to sin, we've got to the point in this country that we don't talk about sin a lot anymore. Even from the pulpits, we don't hear that little word sin. As a matter of fact, Van touched on that a little bit this morning. We think that we're saved and we're okay. We can go do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. God's going to forgive us and everything's good. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight also, God willing. But the Bible plainly tells us, do not sin. Do not. As a matter of fact, over in the book of James, it gives us a quick definition of exactly what sin really is. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The things in our lives that we know we shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be in our lives, it's sin. The things in our lives that we know without a shadow of a doubt are not pleasing to God, it is sin. When we hear that still small voice say, don't, and we do, that is sin. When we hear that still small voice say, do, and we don't, that's still sin. That's sin of omission. And I think that is one of the issues today in Christian lives that we feel like that, well, if God's telling me to do something and I don't really want to do it, or I'll do it later, that's my prerogative. But it's not. It's sin. It's the sin of omission. So we need to be aware of that. We get habits into our lives that are not healthy for us. We get addictions and habits. I mean, I could probably ask who can't make it past 9 a.m. in the morning without a caffeine fix. I'm not going to even go any farther with that one. Smoking, addiction, alcohol can be an addiction. Drugs, even prescription drugs can be an addiction. Gambling, pornography, even working. Whoa, now before all of you run out and quit your jobs tomorrow, let me explain. When we get to the point where work is the most important thing and making money and accumulating more and more money and working and getting money, you know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, don't misquote that like a lot of people do, that money is the root of all evil. That's not true. God don't care if you're a multimillionaire as long as you're honoring him. It's the love of money when you put that money before God. Eating can be an addiction. And Debbie, even shopping can be an addiction. She's not looking real mean at me, is she? Ooh, I didn't think about that, brother. Too many people, even Christians, start the new year with the same old sins, the same old addictions, the same old habits. You put forth a new foot, a new leaf, but then, like the survey say, usually within 90 days, we're back to our old habits. We're back to the things that we've always done. But I want each one here tonight to know that things can change this year. Things can change in our lives. We don't have to continue to struggle through our lives with all these addictions, with all these sins, with all the things in our lives that are dragging us down. We don't have to continue doing that. We don't have to start the same old way, have the same old disappointments, the same old setbacks. Studies also show that human beings are creatures of habit, and a habit can get started when you do something on a regular basis for 2 weeks. It can become a habit. Us human beings, seldom break those habits. So what can be different this year? It's how we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and let Jesus Christ have control of our lives. That is the main difference. You know, I've dealt with a lot of people that have had drug issues in their lives and drug addictions. And again, the studies show that over 80, way up in the 80 percentile range of those addiction classes that are not God-centered fail. But over 80% of those addiction classes that are God-centered succeed. That ought to tell us something very important right there. That God is what makes the difference. When we look to Jesus Christ and follow after Jesus Christ, it will make a difference in our lives. Too many Christians believe that Jesus can't work in their lives. Well, he can't if we don't allow him to. But Jesus Christ can make the biggest difference in your life this year. It can all be different. All of those failures, all of those resolutions that we've made and they failed, Jesus Christ can make the difference. Because once we accept Jesus Christ, we have God's Holy Spirit indwelling in us. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus himself. The same Holy Spirit that was in all the disciples that did all the miracles. It's the God's Holy Spirit. Think about that. God's Holy Spirit is in you. Matter of fact, the book of Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 27 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ." I was thinking about it raining out there a while ago. Debbie got an umbrella from the house. But when we got here at church, I saw her jump out of the car and run over to the front and left the umbrella in the car. And I thought, that's what Jesus is. Jesus is our umbrella, and we have the choice to use him or not use him. We have the choice of getting under Jesus' umbrella and let him take all the fiery darts of the devil and stay up close to him, or we can get out from under there and take whatever the elements dish out. That's what that verse is saying right there. That when we accept Jesus Christ, we have put on Christ. Now I want to get to Romans chapter 6. And hopefully by the time we get through with this, we'll understand more that as Christians, we have the ability to conquer the things that are holding us back in the year of 2022. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in this place. We thank you, Lord, for these folks that's come out to hear your word. And I pray, Father, as we look at this blessed word tonight, I pray, Father, that we see exactly what you'd have us to see. I pray, Lord, that every one of our eyes will be opened as a brand new. And Father, most of all, I pray that you get the glory for this entire night. And Father, we do pray for those people over in the Awana program. We pray for those children. We pray, Lord, that we'll see many, many children saved in that Awana program. We know what a great program it is. And we just pray, Lord, that there'd be many children accept the Lord Jesus Christ because of the effort of those folks. Father, we pray for every single one of them that works in Awana. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless them in a special way. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you continue to have us to go in a direction that'd be pleasing to you. And we thank you and we praise you because we have prayed it in that blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ or into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's park right there for a second. As we start out right there in verse 1, it is pretty obvious we have come into the middle of a conversation that Paul is writing to the Roman church. Now, I might be taking a wide girth here and assuming some things, but you got to think that because Paul was writing this, that we should not sin just because he's saying here that we shouldn't sin just because we've been saved, so that if we go out and sin, we get more of God's grace. So it seems obvious to me that someone in the Romans church there, in that church of Rome, was assuming that once they got saved, they could just get out and live like the devil. And Paul is saying right here, that what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid that we go out and sin any longer. And he's saying that we don't have to sin, that we've been buried with Christ. He said there in verse 6, he said, for knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The old man, talking about our old lives, talking about the Adam man, the one that was sinful, the one that didn't have God in their lives, didn't accept Jesus Christ, and was living out in sin. That old man was crucified once we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That old man don't exist anymore. Now, we are a new creature. It says there in verse 4, the last part of verse 4, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. When we accept Jesus Christ, that old person should be gone. Now we're living for Jesus Christ, and sin should not be in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not perfect yet. We still live in this old flesh, and every once in a while, this flesh is going to mess up. As a matter of fact, Van talked about that a little bit this morning when he went to his children's ball games or whatever they were doing. He kind of set off to himself so people didn't see the old man come out. So it happens from time to time. The old man will come out of us. But in the most part, we should serve God, not serve sin. It tells us right there in verse 6, that we should not serve sin. Let's go on, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now this is, again, it's talking about the old man, the old person, before we accepted Jesus Christ. That old person is dead. So that's what he's talking about right there For he that is dead is freed from sin. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but also or alive unto God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Again, we see that we're not to let sin reign in our bodies. We were told in verse 6 that we should not serve sin. We're told in verse 12 that we should not let sin reign in our bodies. So the idea that once we're saved, we can go out and do whatever we want to is wrong. It's dead wrong. God expects us to follow after him and do not live in sin. He goes on into verse 13 and he says, neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Again, there's another warning about sin. Sin and unrighteousness go hand in hand. He says there in 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's stop right there. I think that's the biggest reason that we as Christians continue to struggle with sin is we do not yield ourselves unto God. We continue to go out and try to live our own lives, do what we want to do. We only worry about God on Sunday morning. We go out and live like the rest of the world the rest of the week. We don't give God another thought the rest of the week. This right here says that we should yield ourselves unto God. Folks, every minute of every day, we should be yielding ourselves to God. Whether we're at home, whether we're at work, no matter what we're doing, we should yield ourselves to God. We should be thinking about how we could yield ourselves to God. Now, when you're going down Highway 153 down there in Hickson, right about where the Walmart's at, you better really be prayed up, because there'll be some road rage going on right there. If you don't believe that, you ask my wife. No, don't ask my wife. She'll tell on me. If we are not yielding to God, we're going to be living in that old flesh. That flesh is going to continue to rise up. We have got to yield ourselves continually to God. That's what he's telling us right there. To the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's what the Bible tells us. God is holy righteous. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you mark in your Bibles, you should highlight that or underline that. So many people think that they can't live a sinless life. Now, it's like I said, sometimes we'll mess up, we'll slip. But I'm talking about letting sin have dominion over you. God says if we'll stay up close to him and his righteousness, then sin will not have dominion over you. There is a way to have a victory over sin, and that is to yield ourselves to God. That's how you get victory over sin. We have got to be in continual yielding of ourselves to God. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There is Paul telling us again that we are not to have sin to reign in our lives. We are not to serve sin. Verse 16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. He's saying right there, you belong to the one that you serve. If you're out there continually in sin, if we're living out there in sin on a daily basis, and we're running after the things of the devil, well, guess what? We are servants of the devil. But if we're out there and we're chasing after righteous things, we're studying God's word, we're staying under God's leadership, we're looking for God's leadership in our lives, we're sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, then we're servants to God. Bible goes on into verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That verse right there is telling me that once upon a time, before all of us accepted Jesus Christ, and I hope and pray that every person in this room knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, I pray that you know Jesus Christ before you leave this room tonight. But it says that you were. That word were is a past tense. That means in the past, you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Now, doctrine means a pattern, a type of something, or an example. So what that should say right there is that from the heart, that form or example which is delivered to you. What was that example that was delivered to us? Jesus Christ was delivered to us. So we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we put that thing called sin behind us. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Again, God is righteous. We are not. God is righteous. So now we serve God. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Again, he's making that comparison to what we used to do. We served iniquity, but now through Jesus Christ, through our salvation, through Jesus Christ, now we serve righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Free from righteousness. When we served sin before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, so we didn't have righteousness. That's what he says there in verse 20. Verse 21, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? And I hope that every one of us is ashamed of the things that we did, said, done to others before we accepted Jesus Christ. Of course, I don't know. Maybe y'all didn't have that problem. Maybe it's just me. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Folks, that ought to make every one of us that knows Jesus Christ shout right there. We know what our end is going to be. Our end, it says right there, our end is everlasting life. Whew. That ought to make you shout right there. That makes this day that we've got out here, Scott, that makes this day a beautiful day. Matter of fact, the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice, whew, and be glad in it. He didn't say just do it when the sun was shining. God made all of them. You know, that's a, it's a good thing I'm not in charge, because that's just like rain. I mean, there's things I'll be doing. I help my son-in-law with his construction business, and like he needs my help. But I help my son-in-law with his construction business. I'll be praying, Lord, don't let it rain. And then my pasture over at the house will be drying up. My cows don't have anything to eat, and I'll be saying, Lord, but let it rain over there. But don't let it rain over here. So it's a good thing I'm not in charge. But God knows when we need rain. He knows when we don't. And this is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because, folks, it don't matter what the weather brings, no matter what goes on in life, when this life is over, we have got everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. He goes on to say in verse 23, and I can't believe we made it all through that in less than 3 hours. For the wages of sin is death. But listen to this. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you're still living in sin, I want you to listen to this. The wages of those sin without Jesus Christ is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. Can't do anything to earn it. It's a gift. I look at that right there like a Christmas gift. It's the greatest gift that you could ever receive. It's all wrapped up. It's got a nice shiny bow up on the top of it. And it's the greatest thing you could ever receive. And God is standing there holding it out. But you won't take it. You won't accept it. But he's offering you the greatest thing in the world. And if you haven't accepted that gift, I pray that you'd receive it tonight. You might say, well, preacher, how do I accept that gift? You bow down before an almighty God and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. Amen. And I know you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, and he did it for me. And I accept your son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. That's all there is to it. And after that, just live for Jesus Christ. Just live for Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is you always seek his face, read his word. Don't just take your Bible home after Sunday and put it back on the shelf and never pick it back up. It's just like Van was talking about this morning. Even Christians can be fooled about what is sin and what's not. Just like he talked about the young man that came to him and told him that God had sent him this married woman in his life. No, he didn't. The reason I know that is because God says so. I think I've told y'all before, I'll share it with you again just for the sake of the message. At the church that I used to preach at down there in Chattanooga, I was there for close to 10 years, I guess, 9, 10 years. Lady came to me one morning before service. Been a member of that church even before I went there. Came to me. Said, Brother Ed, and she'd been married for 20-something years, had 2 kids. Said, I've left my husband. I moved in with this other fella. And I know it's what God wants because God wants me to be happy. Well, when she got through, I said, are you done? She said, yeah. And then I said, that is not from God. God, number one, is not concerned about you being happy. God is concerned about you having joy in your life. Happy is when you go off on vacation and then you come back home and got to go to work on Monday. That happiness is gone. And God did not tell you to leave your husband and move in with another guy. And I read it to her. Been a member of that church for years and didn't understand what God's word said or did understand it, and the devil had pulled the wool over her eyes. Folks, you know that King David, the Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart. But do you realize that King David was an adulterer, a manipulator, a liar, and a murderer? So then, Brother Ed, how can King David be a man after God's own heart? Because when the devil would pull King David away from God and blind him and pull him over in sin, you can go read it every single time. As soon as King David realized he was in sin, he fell down on his face before God and he asked God to forgive him of his sins, and God would replace him right back where he was before he sinned. It's exactly the way God views us. Every single one of us falls away from God from time to time, pulls away from God and allows Satan to take us down that road of sin. And what God wants us to do, as soon as we come to our senses, fall on our face before him and ask God to forgive us of our sins, and he will do it. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible plainly tells us that. And he will restore our fellowship with him. Folks, in the year of 2022, instead of making New Year's resolutions, let's all make a commitment to read more of God's Word. If you haven't been reading God's Word, and maybe you feel like you're away from God, I'm going to challenge you. Try this. See if it don't work. Start taking your Bible, and even if you just pick it up and read, I like to read a chapter at a time, but if you just read a verse, start this week and read one verse every single day. And concentrate on that verse. Let it sink in. And I'll promise you, at the end of this month, you will feel closer to God. Try it. It won't cost you anything. Just a little bit of time. And we waste too much time anyway. Try it. Read God's Word. Pray that God will lead you and guide you and draw you up closer. Make you a better Christian this year. Make you a better person. Try it. See if it don't work. That's all I've got. Scott, you want to close? Anything you want to do? All hearts and minds clear?